All right, I have been preaching in the book of Daniel for several weeks, but I'm going to take a break today because I knew being Labor Day, we were going to have several, if not many, away. And we do have good attendance for a Labor Day, but I'm going to preach. I've really never preached on Labor Day. I've never preached about work, I don't think. But in a minute, I'm going to do that. Let me go ahead and take care of something now because at some point in this sermon, I know I'm going to talk about how we're surrounded by unlovely people, right? And unlovely means sometimes difficult to get along, not just looks. But anyway, just so when I get to that point, you won't be looking around, I want you to stand up and say to one another, I think you're good looking. Would you do that? Go ahead and stand up. Find somebody. All right, thank you. Thank you. Man, you really got into that one, didn't you? I tell you, goodness gracious. I think you're good looking too. All right. So today we're going to look at work. God bless my work, please. And some of you have done your part in working. But let me tell you, there are principles here that whether you're working or you're retired or you're not working or whatever, you can apply these principles. Let me tell you, I did something this past weekend. Friday's my day off, but it turned out I had to work. My little grandson was sick. My daughter asked, can you keep Nora, the granddaughter? And I said, yeah, just to get her out of the house away from her brother. So I did. And when I went to pick her up, and they said, by the way, here's her first set of Legos. I need to be on the show. Are you smarter than a three-year-old? And here she is. And then I noticed on the box from this picture, the box says for age 5 and older. And it took me an hour and a half to do half of it. So anyway, here we are. But let's look at this. God bless my work, please. God bless my relationships. God bless my neighbors. God bless my family members. All of them, you know. All that we're around, we can apply these principles here to that. But if we're looking at work this morning, because many of you are working, okay? Proverbs 22:29 says this. Do you see a man? You see someone skilled in his work? He will stand in the presence of kings. He will not stand in the presence of unknown men. I believe God is saying in that verse, and he's going to be telling us today as well, when we commit ourselves to becoming skilled in our work, God can truly bless us. The economy doesn't control our success in our lives, in our careers. Our faith in God does. And if we have faith in God and we're trusting him, we're going to find out that he's going to help us in spite of anybody else around us. Now, let me mention this for about 1 minute. Christianity 101, okay? We gather here today to worship and praise God because of all of his goodness to us. He's blessed us. All kind of gifts. The greatest gift is this. The Bible says everybody in all creation, everybody in the world has sinned, right? We've all come short of God's glory. We can't go into heaven because of our sin. God is perfect. We're not. We can't be imperfect and go to a perfect heaven and a perfect God. So God took care of it. You remember the verse? For God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten, his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not enter into heaven, but have everlasting life, go into heaven. And as Christians, we believe there's one God. And he sent his son. And if he loved us enough to do that, and we believe that, and we believe in Jesus, that he died for our sins and arose from the dead, then our sins are forgiven, we're going to heaven. But in the meantime, God wants to be not only part, but Lord of every area of our lives, even in our work, okay? So what we do is not as important at work, let's say, as why we do it. And what we're becoming as we do it. Guess what? We're not going to take our careers to heaven. What we're going to take is our character, who we have become through our faith. That's why God can bless any job that we have. Motive, method, and meaning are much more important than money. So I'm going to give you just a few little principles here, okay, about work. But again, I promise you, you can flip these a little bit and apply them. If you're retired, or if you're not working, or whatever it may be, you can apply these. The first one is enthusiastically. Start working enthusiastically here. It doesn't matter if it's a menial job or a part-time job. It doesn't matter if you hate that job. It doesn't matter if you intend to quit that job. If you want God's blessing on your work, you need to start working enthusiastically. Start right where you are now. Now, you may say, Pastor, you've got to be kidding me. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, whatever job you're in, wherever you are in life, do it with all your strength. Do it with all your might. Notice it doesn't say, whatever you like to do, do with all your might. It says whatever job you've got at this point, whatever you find yourself doing. If you're cleaning bathrooms, do it with all your might. Again, you might say, Pastor, you don't know my job. If you had my job, you wouldn't work with enthusiasm. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what your job is. Because enthusiasm, I believe, is a spiritual discipline. Enthusiasm is based on why you're working. It's not based on what you're doing. You can be enthusiastic about anything if you have the right reason for doing it. It's based on why you're doing what you're doing. Let me give you a little Greek lesson here, okay? I'm sure you'll write this down and take it home. It's real easy. The word enthusiasm comes from two Greek words. The word en, E-N, and the word theos, okay? And the word theos is the word for God. The word en, E-N, means in. So enthusiasm comes from two words, and theos, in God. Okay? And so it means to be in God. It has nothing to do with our job. It has everything to do with whether we're in God or not. How do we get enthusiastic? We get in God. Whatever we want, God says, whatever you want to do, if you want me to bless it, you need to be enthusiastic about it. My attitude would determine my joy. A lousy job's a lousy job, and there are some lousy jobs, you know. But would you agree it's even worse when you start complaining about it? Isn't that true? Does complaining ever make a job any easier? Does complaining ever make a relationship any better? Does griping ever make anything unpleasant more pleasant? No, it'll make it worse. So the Bible says, first thing, as a Christian, as one who's placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and God wants to be Lord of every area of our lives, we need to change our attitudes in some areas of our lives, and maybe it's the work that you're doing. The job may stink. But we need to have an enthusiastic attitude because the Bible says, whatever you do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your strength. Secondly, listen to this. We need to understand. Understand what? Understand who I'm working for. Okay? Talked about attitude. This principle right here could turn your attitude around. The truth is, your boss, your board, none of those are really your Lord. Jesus Christ is your Lord. Your boss may be your supervisor, but he's not your Lord. Colossians 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do, and here's the word again, do it enthusiastically as something done for the Lord and not for men, knowing that you will receive the reward of an inheritance from him. You will serve, by doing that, you will serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, you buy into that, that'll change your whole attitude. That'll change your faith. It'll deepen your faith. It's easier to be enthusiastic when you think, I've got this job, But I'm really not doing it for this man or this woman. I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. And you can do anything. You can clean dishes. You can scrape paint. You can repair a car. You can do anything when you turn it from, I'm doing it for my boss, I'm doing it for a paycheck, when you turn it to, no, I'm doing it for the Lord. You just turn. You know what you do? Or what you will do? You'll turn work into worship. You don't have to be in church to worship God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or you're at that job, whatever you do, what does the Bible say? Do everything for what? God's glory. So any job can become an act of worship if we do it enthusiastically. That is in God. Lord, I'm doing this job as if I'm doing it for you. Third thing we do is we need to concentrate. Concentrate on building my character, on who I am in Jesus Christ. When you become as a result of your work, what you become as a result of your work is far more important than any job you'll ever have on this earth. Again, you're not taking your job to heaven. You're taking you. Romans 5:3-4. Not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character will produce hope. Now, let me explain this to you, okay? And you're going to wonder why I'm talking about this particular area for a few moments. The area, the subject of temptation, okay? A lot of people get distressed every time they're tempted about something. We'll never outgrow temptation all of our lives. In fact, the closer you grow to God, the deeper your faith becomes, the more the enemy you are of Satan. And the more he's going to work on us, because he wants to get in between us and our relationship with God. But by our faith in Christ and his death, his power to come back alive, we too have power, greater strength to resist temptation. The Bible says that everybody gets the same temptation. Martin Luther used to say this: you can't keep birds from flying over your head. You can't stay away from temptation. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair, you know? You don't have to give in to temptation. We decide what we're going to do about that. It's not a sin to be tempted. The Bible says that Jesus Christ himself, when he was on earth, was tempted in every way, but he never sinned. So it's not a sin to be tempted, but it's a sin to give in to temptation. Now, why am I speaking about temptation? What we need to understand is when we're at work and we're tempted, okay? You may get tempted by somebody you work with, pardon me, but he or she is a jerk, okay? Is that a common temptation? Two of you say, yeah, it is, okay? All right, more specifically, you want to say something rude to that person, okay? You want to get back at that person. Is that a temptation? Yeah. The common temptations are this: to be unkind, to be unloving, to get angry and prideful. You know what? Those are relational temptations, aren't they? They can happen in your marriage, in your home, with your neighbors, or at school, or wherever. They're all about relationships, okay? What we need to realize, I'm going to flip this around. Every temptation is not just an opportunity to do something bad. Guess what? It's an opportunity to do something good also. Every temptation is either a stepping stone or a stumbling block in our lives. It's either going to make us bitter or it's going to make us better. We can take temptation, and when that temptation comes and you think, man, he made me so mad, I just want to get back at her. If you don't, and instead you stop and say this, The Bible says I need to return good for evil. The Bible says I need to bless those who curse me. The Bible says I need to pray for those who offend me. Lord, I want you to bless that person who just ticked me off. You just grew in your faith. Your character just got better. That works in every aspect of our lives. Let's say one of the things Satan likes to do is to make you impatient. Anybody ever struggle with that? You should have been at my house Friday once again, okay? And Satan just keeps adding delays in our lives, for example. He keeps adding irritations in our lives. All of those heavenly sandpaper people, okay? That were extra grace required kind of people, okay? All those people that are bugging you. Instead of getting upset, you think, Lord, I want to thank you for that person. I pray they'll come to know you if they don't. And I pray that you'll bless that person. Again, two things are going to happen when you do that. Number one, does Satan want you praising God? No, he may start backing away a little bit if you keep on praising God like that, okay? And then secondly, that person's going to stop being such an irritation to you. That would be a good result, wouldn't it? God says, hey, I heard your prayer. You're growing. And you're building your character. Every temptation is an opportunity to do good. And last piece of advice, stay off Woodruff Road. Number four, care. Continuing in this theme, care about those you work with. Care about them, okay? This is so important. If you'll learn to do this, you will experience, you'll find yourself having the favor of God on your work. If you learn to care about the people around you, again, it doesn't have to be at work. If you care about the people around you, even when they're irritable, even when they may not like you, even with they may say something mean or make fun of you, or for some of us, when they put you down for being a believer, a Christian, all those different things, you do good to them. By the way, if you're only friends with people you agree with, you'll have no friends. Matter of fact, you'll never get married. Why? Because your spouse is not going to agree with everything you do, right? This is all about love that I'm speaking of. This is the glaring omission in just about every secular business book or leadership book or planning book of any kind of business-related career book. They all have one glaring omission. They never talk about love. Why is it so important to care about the people around you, huh? The number one reason or number one lesson in life is this. Number one reason that God put us on this planet, He wants you and I to learn. Do you remember the verse I mentioned at the very beginning? For God so loved. 1 John says, God is love. The Bible says God wants to turn Christians into little Christ. Okay, to grow in His image. God wants us to love, and He wants us to be like Him. He wants His children to learn how to love before they go to heaven. And it's easy to love people who like you, easy to love people who you get along with. But if God's going to teach us real love, guess what? He's going to put around us all those unlovely people. Okay? You know who I'm talking about. He'll put you around those heavenly sandpaper kind of people who just kind of rub you the wrong way. But they're all opportunities to learn what real love is all about. 1 Corinthians 16:14. Your every action, everything you do must be done with love. Never underestimate the power of a kind word. Never underestimate the power of a friendly smile, or a pat on the back, or a genuine compliment, or a word of encouragement, a listening ear. These are all ways to share care at work. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science. I've seen people change because somebody was caring to them. Somebody simply said a word of encouragement. I believe all the people around us, all the people at your work, they're starving for attention. Everybody needs attention. I've learned in my ministry, and I really want to know this, when I'm speaking with somebody, first time I met, and I said, tell me about you, tell me about your family. And you know what? People like to talk about themselves, right? The Bible tells us we need to be caring, and those who really care are aware. And sadly, they're rare. Judy Garland, many of you remember her? Great actress and singer, but in her personal life, very sad. And she said, there were many lonely nights when I would rather have one caring word from one individual than a room full of applause. I believe everybody needs affirmation. Everybody needs attention. Ephesians 4:2 says this, with all humility, with all gentleness, with all patience, accept one another in love. Exceed expectations. No matter what you're doing, if we're working for the Lord, we need to do more than just the minimum amount to get the job done. Don't just get by, surpass what is required. Don't be average. Exceed the expectations of your customers or of your boss. Exceed the expectations of who you're working for. This is the kind of work I believe God will bless. Colossians 3:22. He's talking to slaves, but we're going to apply this to work, okay? Slaves, workers, anyone. Obey your human masters, obey your bosses, obey your supervisors and everything. But don't work only while being watched. Don't do your best just when they're in the room looking at you in order to please men. But the Bible says work wholeheartedly, fearing the Lord, obeying the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Do you agree we live in an age of mediocrity? When your microwave or whatever electronic machine you have, it breaks down, what are you going to do with it? We're going to throw it away, are we not? Buy a new one. That's who we are. The fact is, how many times have you complained about shoddy workmanship? Everybody has, right? How many times have you complained about poor service? How many times in the last 5 years have you complained about inferior quality? There was a day Americans took pride in what they did, their craft, okay? Made in America meant something. I pray that'll come back. We've experienced that, Jane and I. Over 30 years ago, we bought a Maytag washer and dryer. Now, at our place in life those many years ago, that was a stretch for us to buy a Maytag washer and dryer. I mean, that was right at the top of the line. Guess what? About 3 years ago, we did have to buy another washer. Guess what? That dryer's still going. It's still going. I don't know how much longer, but it's still going. 30-something years. Today, the average American just wants to get by on as little effort as possible. That's the bad news. You want the good news? The good news is it's very easy to stand out at work. It really is. All you have to do is do a little more than is expected of you. And your boss will think you're a genius. Right? Most people aren't willing to do more than expected. They want to do the minimum. But somebody who takes pride in their work and somebody who says, I'm going to do more than expected, they will rise to the top. So I'm encouraging all of us to take pride in our work. Pride, not all pride is a sin. You know, I talked about that in Daniel, about Nebuchadnezzar and his pride, okay? He took pride in himself and looking down on other people, that he was better than other people. But it's all right to be proud of your children, of your grandchildren. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to be proud that you're a Christian, to be proud of your church. It's good to take pride in ourselves in the sense, if I'm working, you know, I did a better job today than I did yesterday. That deal was better than the last deal I did. I'm getting better than this. I'm growing at this. That's all right to take that kind of pride. But the moment we start comparing ourselves to other and we say I'm better than so-and-so, that's when you're getting hot water right there. Would you agree with what the Bible says, that the followers of Jesus Christ, the believers in Jesus Christ, Christians, should have the best reputation for quality work? Why? Can I tell you simply? If you're a Christian and you're at work, or if you're with your neighbor or wherever, guess what? We represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no matter where we are. And if it was done by a Christian, then we need to know that it should count. It's going to be done with excellence because we represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:41, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, what do? Go 2 miles. Do the most. Jesus talked about the principle of exceeding what is expected of us. Go that extra mile. I dare say the vast majority of us in here like a good Chick-fil-A sandwich or the nuggets or something, right? I like Chick-fil-A. I like Chick-fil-A too because the founder, Truett Cathy, he was a Christian, a devoted Christian, and he said, we're just going to work 6 days a week. We're going to close on Sunday. And that principle is still kept in Chick-fil-A. He's died, so his son now, Dan Cathy, runs the company. Here's a story I read about Dan Cathy. He was out one day with a friend. Didn't stop at a Chick-fil-A. They stopped at Taco Bell. Okay? Went in and Dan Cathy had, he went to the restroom first. His friend went too. And when Dan had used the bathroom, he went and washed his hands. And you know what he did next? He got paper towels and he cleaned off the cabinet or the countertop there around the sink and all. Because he said this, the friend asked him, what are you doing? He said, I always like to leave a place better than it was, even the competitor's place. You know what? That's why God's blessing that guy. Second mile service. He's cleaning the competitor's restroom and he's CEO of Chick-fil-A. Second mile service. God blesses that. Two last quick ones. I mean real quick, okay? We need to expand our skills with constant learning. You shouldn't say my education ended when I graduated. We need to be learning the rest of our lives. Ecclesiastes 10:10, if the axe is dull and one doesn't sharpen the edge of the axe, then you've got to exert more strength. You've got to work harder. However, the advantage of wisdom is that it brings success. And that God is just saying, man, you need to be learning. We need to be learning all of our lives. Sharpen our axe. It'll bring success. It'll help us to work smarter and not harder here. Keep learning. And then lastly, we need to dedicate our work to be used for God's purposes. Whatever we want God to bless, we need to give it to Him first. We dedicate it, we consecrate it, we hallow it, and then God will bless it. Dedicate our work to be used for His purposes. Proverbs 16:3, commit your activities to the Lord and your plans will be achieved. So how do you know when you've committed your plans? How do you know when you've committed your work? How do you know when you've committed that relationship to the Lord? How do you know when you've dedicated all that to Christ? He gets involved in the decisions you make there. He tells you what to do. He's your chairman of the board. He gets the glory. So I want to commission every one of us this week. If you're working, you're a marketplace minister. That's your second church right there. Your job place is your second church. Your church is where you work. The Bible says we're Christ ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to others. We urge you, Paul says. We urge you, church, as though Christ himself was right there pleading with you. Be reconciled to God. Show others how to be reconciled to God. Our job is to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as a secret agent in God's army. Again, not all of you will remember this. You remember the late Clairol commercials? And it always had this slogan, only her hairdresser knows for sure. You know? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. If you remember that, you're old, okay? Why did I bring that up? There are no Lady Clairol Christians, because only God knows for sure. If you are one of his, you need to let others know that too. All the blessings that God pours out in our lives that we're thankful for, our finances, our families, our health, all these areas, guess who they come from? Jesus Christ. And this last verse I'm going to end with. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing under heaven. I know it's Labor Day, but I want to change it for every day. Let's make today and tomorrow Thanksgiving. Would you do that? Just take a moment today with yourself or gather your family and say, let's thank God now for all he's done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to stand and sing, then we're going to get out of here, okay? Nothing going on here tonight. Spend the time with family, friends, doing what you need to do. I pray you'll have a blessed Labor Day / Thanksgiving tomorrow. Pray for the fella that's coming in next week. I'm excited about the music candidate he's going to be leading up here. Remember Saturday to come out to meet him in the social hall at 4:30. Come with any question you have. And we're just going to give God all the praise and the glory and seek his will. Let's pray now. Father, as we close today, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you, God, for Labor Day, but I want to thank you for Thanksgiving. And we can give you the thanks and the praise and the glory for all that you blessed us with. Especially, God, that you love the world so much that as we were lost in our sins, we were outside of your love, yet you sent your son Jesus to take our sins upon himself, to take your punishment for our sins upon himself. And he died. And to prove that he's God, he rose from the dead. He's in heaven and lives now and forevermore. Thank you for that truth. And now, Father, you want to be Lord of every aspect of our lives. I pray we'll just surrender our relationships, our work, whatever it may be, our school, to you, that you will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Father, bless us as we close out and we sing in Jesus' name, amen. Two things. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you would, just come to me here at the front and share that with me. Or if God is leading you to join Five Forks Baptist Church, you come as well as I stand here and share that with me also. Let's stand together and we'll sing.